Good morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting for August 6, 2013 to order. Approval of agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. There are no amendments to the agenda this morning, Mr. President.
Okay, a motion to approve the agenda?
You got it.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of July 30th. Any concerns, questions, corrections? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President, we have one letter, and it's from Delmarva Teen Challenge, and it is in the way of a tax receipt on behalf of the Board of Directors, staff, and students at Delmarva Teen Challenge, Inc. Thank you for your generous donation. And then in pencil, it is written, wow, awesome, thank you for your kindness, signed by Bob Carey, Executive Director.
Anything from council?
No.
Okay. I don't think anybody's here yet from First State, are they?
I don't see anyone.
Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The County Administrator's Report for August 6, 2013. Item number one, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will hold a special planning meeting on Wednesday, August 7, 2013 at 9:30 a.m. at the Sussex County West Administrative Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. During the meeting, the committee will continue discussion of its upcoming conference. Item number two, attached, please find the call statistics for the fire and ambulance call board for July 2013. There were 18,267 total calls handled in the month of July. Of those 911 calls, 80% were made from wireless phones. And finally, per the attached engineering department fact sheet, Forest Landing Phase 2C received substantial completion effective July 30th, 2013. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jennings?
Did I have a comment on the 911?
Mr. Wilson, certainly.
I was talking to a fire company last night in the 422 area, and any phone call that goes from 422 goes to Kent County. Kent County takes the call. After they get all the information, they say, oh, you're from Sussex County. So they hang up on them and send the information back to Sussex County. Then they got to start all over again. This is at least a 5-minute procedure or more. Or they can never get a phone call in. This doesn't happen once, but it happens every time. This has been going on for some time. I wonder what we're going to do about it. What can we do about it?
I think that has been going on for some time. I think that's a strictly Verizon issue, and somebody has to pay to have that exchange segregated by where you are and what county you're in. That's a large number to do that. Well, a dollar and cent number.
Of course, 422 comes all the way down almost to Allendale, below Allendale. And then it goes all the way up to above Lynch Height, takes that large area. It crosses two county lines there. And when the phone comes in, 422 automatically goes
Kent County.
Kent County.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't we just get a coordinate between our EOC and their EOC, and then they have a way to transfer immediately as opposed to this hanging up. If that's hanging up stuff, that doesn't.
Well,
it doesn't seem like a good way to do it.
Could you put on our next agenda to have Joe Thomas come in and discuss that with us and answer questions?
I understand he already knows about it. But
yeah. See if we can find out if there is something that can be done or what the issues are, that kind of thing.
It needs to be taken care of.
Because I'm like Councilman Cole, I was under the impression that the calls were transferred. They just put you on hold and shot you down here by phone line, not hung up on
you. They start all over again.
Okay.
No, we can't have that.
I got this information from fire chief.
Okay.
So I assume it's pretty accurate. Okay.
We'll find out.
Good.
Anything else? Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. Within the next week, the 2013 tax bills will be mailed out. This year, we will feature a completely new tax bill. We have made many improvements to both the look, the bill, and the payment process. Patty Fawcett, manager of billing division, will present the new design. This design represents a collaboration of ideas and feedback. Modifications include a better description of charges and clearer calculations with applicable rates. After Patty presents the bill, then John Norris of Data Processing will demonstrate a new customer-friendly tax inquiry and payment system. Although the bills have not been placed in the mail, customers now can go online and pay their bill. The county, for the first time, will now accept major credit cards online and in person. If the customer chooses to pay online or at the county with a credit card, our third-party provider will charge a 2.44% service fee. Now that citizens have access to our new system, they will also see other areas in which property information has been entered into the system electronically. This includes application and permit information. This data was not previously available on our website before. Later, Andy Wright of Building Code and Jenny Norwood of Planning and Zoning will briefly demonstrate this new feature. As you're aware, this initiative has taken numerous hours by several people. I hope you're as happy as we are with this new customer service interface. So Patty Fawcett is going to come up and look at the new bill.
Okay. Come on down.
Morning.
Get our high-tech screen put up here.
This is 21st century.
That's us.
Where's Chipper at today?
He's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
If you hadn't put that up today, we missed it.
I think so. This is our old tax bill. Okay, most of you, I'm sure, have already seen that one.
Oh, yeah. We'd have to have a field glasses to see that.
This is our new tax bill. Some of the major differences are we have a summary box that shows the county tax and services, the school taxes, and the non-county fees. We now show the assessment for each charge that is based on the assessed value. We also show the rates. For this first year, we will not be showing, we don't have the rate for the sewer district just because it had to be imported because we're not live with utility billing yet. Once we go live with utility billing, there will be a little more information on there for that as well. But we do, so we just have the charge. We do show, you see a lot more description than we used to. And the text box, which we're still working on, we have some control over, not complete control, so that's going to change just slightly from what you see here. We have the prior years coming down in the bottom, so they have it shows their total current year annual taxes billed, and then it shows any payments applied, any prior year that they owe, and the interest is included in that. We have the interest that's shown here is actually if we reprint a bill after the due date, that'd be new interest. That's why it says current period interest. We have a customer ID, property tax ID, if you see. They can go on the website and search by that property tax ID. It gives them the format, how to put it in. We're going to be using standard window envelopes now to save on costs so that we can use the same return envelopes for tax bills and also for utility bills. And that's why you see there's no more barcode on there. We're outsourcing the bills, so we save money by doing that, especially with the warnings that we were sending out at full postage. We saved almost $100 by outsourcing them.
Is it
not including any labor that we would have used.
Is it possible maybe with multiple, individuals have multiple tax bills that we could combine them somehow?
Yeah.
In one mailing?
We do have some that we have coded now, some of the big ones that we were definitely aware of that we were able to
like
do.
Mr. Benson.
I don't think so.
Some of those smaller ones we're going to have to pick up as we go because we are do.
But you do that. We do some of that.
Issues to take care of, yeah, as far as the customer ID. That's the unique thing about the customer ID is it will show you all the property owned by that person once we get it cleaned up. There is some cleanup to do to that. So yeah, that'd be better in the future. There's some ability now for bigger ones, and same thing for mortgage companies. We have that group still. So I think we have like 35,000 bills that we're not mailing that are going to be paid by mortgage companies.
Make sure you're into the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a question when you're done with Mr. Cole.
She's done with you.
She's done with you. Help me understand something. I understood that there was new information on that on the website that wasn't on the website before. What is that new? We've always been able to see parcels, property parcels, tax bills and that type of thing.
Yeah, all that, we're going to demonstrate that after the bill. This is the actual paper copy. So that's the next part. Just to add to a couple of things of what Patty was saying, it's hard to see, but the tax ID number is new up there. We used to have a different number scheme so that customers were not familiar with what they normally see, the tax map parcel. So that's new.
A lot more zeros.
Yeah. And what Patty was talking about was these descriptions here were never this much detail.
Okay.
So now it says what school district you're in, what sewer district you're in, so you know where those fees are coming from. And then we have a code here that says this is a county charge, this is a school charge, this is non-county for tax ditches, so that when you go down to the bottom of the bill, down here, it summarizes county services this much, school services this much, so it breaks it out better here.
That's great.
And then we also added the rates as well, so now that somebody can take their bill and actually do the calculation, which they weren't they didn't do that before. We just basically said, this is how much you owe. So okay. Everything is right there on the front. Hopefully the little red circles help a little bit.
Gina, can you pull that back a little bit and blow it up some on the screen? I can barely see it back here. I don't know if council
thank
can
you.
See
I
it
thought it was
well.
Just my eyes.
No, it's...
there we go. A lot of changes in my eyes in the past couple of years, so...
No, it's a pie.
That's very, very good. I
think you get points. Yeah.
Several drafts, and I'm sure there'll be more changes probably even for next year.
Hmm? Does this thing go down?
Yeah, it should do. Yeah, that drops down too.
I can see a little better up there, yeah.
We have the back of the bill.
Yeah, that's
right. And are you going to go over the back side of the bill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, ready? Good.
This is the back of the bill, which is basically almost an exact picture of the front. We did a few more changes since then, but the back of the bill points out the tax cycle and bill number. They're all numbered, coordinated with the picture. It shows all the school district phone numbers. It shows the property tax assistant programs, the filing dates and deadlines, and where they need to call for that information. And we've tried to accentuate the website for people to the information that they can find on the website. And I'm really hoping that they utilize it because our phones have been crazy already.
Why has your phone been crazy already?
Well, because they're wondering where their tax bill is right now.
And they're getting fees?
They usually go out the first or second week in August.
Oh, okay.
And we are hoping to have them out by at least by the end of next week. We just got our final proof back yesterday, so on the bill, the front of the bill. Anyway, we have the address change here, so you can see the numbered items. You have the... Do you have these circled too?
Nope.
No, that's okay. So you have the tax cycle and bill number. We're showing them, explaining what it is, the property tax ID, the customer identification number, which is new. It's unique, tells them it's a unique customer ID. Property location, which for most cases, the property location is going to show the 911 address. For properties that do not have in our current file, the 911 address right now, we will be showing just the first line of the location to give them some kind of description of the property that we're billing.
Are you using tax numbers? Or is that what, yeah, you're doing.
But
that
the property
anyway.
ID is always the property tax ID will always be on there. It's on the top and the bottom, and it will always be formatted the same on the top right. And the bottom, so that when a customer calls you, they're giving it to you.
And the ID is for the person per person.
For the customer ID.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Hopefully, that's the idea. We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of matching we're going to have to do with that just because of the different names, and it can be two people owning a property and versus one person owning it, the LLCs. I mean, there's going to be a lot of coming together of that, but yes, that is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Property owners and mailing address is number 5. The code summary and charges that we explain on the front, which is new again, so it explains that what those codes are. On the back, if they don't understand it on the front, and then it points out the total due. And I think that's it.
Have there been any changes in the senior discount from the state?
I don't believe there's any change. What do you mean?
I'm just asking. It's all the same as before.
The state 65, the state 65 is probably the only credit you're going to see. We have credits set up in case there's another county credit. It's hopefully going to be used also for our sewer credits, but they weren't able to do that this year.
Okay.
But the state 65 credits do show on the front of the bill.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's been no change.
In the credit company.
No. Okay.
Some out of state counties will send their tax bills out, and they have like a, if you pay at this date, you get a discount. You pay at this date, it's a little more. You pay at this, if you wait to the end, it's full amount or something. And they encourage some discounts. Would there be any advantage for us to do something like that? To get, in
possibly,
other words, I'm sure all the tax bills come in at one time.
Possibly. Actually, that was my very first draft of the tax bill did have that kind of.
Yeah, because I know that, you know,
that.
30 days, or if it's like, anyway, it would get money in and spread it out and not throw the workload. So I don't know if there's any advantage in how we would work that with the state's school tax. Would we just take the discount on the county's end? Mm-hmm. And if we could justify an advantage to doing that.
We considered that when we were addressing this. And when I say consider, we discussed it.
Okay.
Because of some of the complications, we chose just to stick to what we do this year. And I think if that needs to be a council decision and how we handle it with where the discount is applied, it would certainly be easier if it was just applied to the county portion of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that any of the school districts would be willing to forego the full amount. So, again, it needs to be something that the fire
yeah, I mean,
would
we'd
want
have to find out, is there an advantage for us to do that? What would be the benefits?
Well,
I mean, I know the consumer would save a little money.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's
mm-hmm.
always good. And we're always talking about, you know, instead of, you know, we get a little extra surplus or something, maybe this is a way to do it to encourage them. Pay your tax bills earlier. You'll get that savings.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the way I wouldn't mind addressing those issues, which we have talked about. In
okay.
I think you stumbled on it, George. I think maybe
I didn't stumble. Wait a minute.
It could
Vance, I don't
reduce,
stumble on anything.
It could reduce the workload.
Yeah,
right, right now, you probably are
well, it would back it up anyway.
That's right.
To the earliest date, whenever
yeah,
they're going to get
the
biggest
out.
Discount.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
Most of the money is for schools, and how you can't discount school tax.
No, I didn't say that. I just said if there's an advantage, the way we can do it, we ought to look at it. And because, again, we have talked about, I know Vance has been an advocate of it.
Do we charge the schools an administrative fee for all this work we do?
No.
Is that something we should consider?
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's just
the pressure the people in Dover are going to pass that.
Help defray the cost of the dog control they've dumped on us. Anyway.
Not if it would take away from the students. I don't think it's a good idea.
I have a question.
Mr. Phillips.
Are you finished?
Yeah, I was just going to say, just to reiterate, that if she's getting calls right now, the tax bills are online once we show this next demo, so people can already see their bill if they haven't got one in the mail and can pay it already if they like to.
It is online.
It is online now, and that's what we're going to just demonstrate next after we're done with Patty.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Okay.
Councilman Cole's bill with multi-listing properties there. I can take two pages for all of you, don't you think?
Property now on Route 26.
I didn't hear that.
I can get that on my computer there.
Yeah, if you'd like to follow along right now, this is the live home page of our county website if you want to follow along on your iPad.
Get it, right? We can go
yeah.
right to
So this is our live website right now. I was working with our IT department this morning to get some of the links to go to the Munis portal, and they should work. So if anybody is actually on our live website, you can go to residents.
Your name is?
Oh, my name's John Norris. I'm sorry about
Hi,
that.
Hi, John. just for the record.
Gotcha. All right, so if you go to tax information, and then you go to search for tax information, and click on that, it'll take you to the live Munis portal. And right now you have two options. One, you can search for owner name or parcel ID, and you have to have in the correct tax year. It'll automatically default to the newest year. And I'm going to search for myself, if I can spell my name. There we go.
So we're doing a name search? We go to...
Yes.
Okay.
And the name search, you want to, if anybody's using it, whoever's name is on the deed. That's the name you search for.
We already do that.
Hmm?
We already can do that.
Yes. And then it brings up everybody that's name is Norris John, and I'm going to go to my bill. All right. So right here, this is automatically bringing up the 2013 tax bill. If we needed to, we could look at any, we could view any payments or adjustments by clicking this link over here. Of course, right now there's been no payments or adjustments, and eventually I'll get to showing you guys how to do an online bill payment if you would like. But I'd like to show you a couple of things on the left.
I'm kind of doing it with you, and I just put in a common name, and it says 100 records displayed of the 442. Mm-hmm. Will it only display 100?
Yeah, it has the ability to have no limit, but that's just, it's really bad practice to bring up all those records. It'll kill our databases. So we decided that 100 is a good limit, and if somebody needs to do more searching, they just need to have better search criteria.
Okay.
All right. So these are the charges that they were showing on the tax bill. This is what makes up my bill of some $400. County tax, county cap, schools, library, and biotech. Besides the tax charges, we can actually look at some of the property details. Jurisdiction, deed book and page. If my acreage was recorded, it'd be there. Get off that. Owner information, it just tells a little bit about who owns the property. Assessment information. Gives a breakdown of the recorded assessment values that the county has for both land and building. And what type, both of these are residential single. Oh, sorry, right here, class RS.
Class.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about, okay, nothing to do with zoning.
No.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, we also have an assessment history page, which will show you that within the past couple years, my assessment has actually went up.
Does it show when they purchased and stuff like that? Didn't there a history?
Not yet.
Wasn't there a history on the old one? I thought you...
There was a history one. Parts of the information couldn't get converted over, and we're still working on that at this time.
So we had it before where you could hit the tax map number, and it would show on that left-hand side, and one was history of sales.
Yes.
When people bought and sold that same property. So it was on the old one. It's not on the current one, but it will be.
I know that we're still working on it at this time.
Okay, because that was good information, I know, with a lot of people.
Yeah, I know that's information that I always get asked for all the time from the public, and that's something right. I always want to have so that people can look it up.
Right, right.
Just curious, yes. Why did your graph go left? Don't they usually go right? Looking at it wrong?
No, you're looking at it right. It goes from oldest to newest.
Uh-huh.
It's just the decision that the company, Munis, or Tyler, made. I don't know why. Mm. Maybe they just wanted the newest year first.
She was thinking maybe you did it.
Oh, no.
No, but all my software is the other way around.
No, I agree. Usually it's left to right, not right to left. Let's see. All right, so after this page, there is tax rate information, which was also, I believe, showed up there in charges, exemptions, and credits. But just a little bit more information. And then if we needed to, we could also look up all my tax bills from 2007 to current. As you can see right here, my 2013 bill is live. So I'm going to go back to that and do a quick walkthrough on how to actually make a payment. I'm going to just a tiny bit so we can see that on the right. So I'm going to add this bill to the cart, and I'm going to check out. And I'm only going to take this so far because I really want my mortgage company to pay this, not me.
You're still paying it.
Yes. I don't want to pay it twice. All right, we'll give it a little second. We've added to the cart. I tested this out before I came here this morning, so I know it works. Come on now. Check out. I wish I paid it in the testing environment.
Yeah, we charge how much for that?
I believe it is, Gina?
2.44%.
That's not our charge.
Our charge. It's not our charge.
It's the
credit card company. We don't charge anything other than the tax bill.
Well, credit card company doesn't charge
2.44%.
But not when you pay them directly. They don't charge you that.
No, they take it from the
vendor. Credit card company.
The credit card company. So when
like
they,
you're a vendor, as if you were a vendor or a
yeah,
retail.
Yeah, exactly. So
they're
when
charging you, so you're charging us. Hmm. Okay. If I understand it correctly.
Yeah. When he goes to check out, there would be a 2.44% charge on it, and that gets, there'll be two separate charges on the person's credit card, one that says to Govolution, and then the rest to Sussex County. So they'll see
it
that they get
seem
money.
The consumer pays for it.
It's petty. Okay. I wish we could get that money in some other way. It's petty.
I almost
not petty. The
we're not
of
getting
not
the money.
Petty.
No, it's not petty, but the way it's done is petty. And I think it would be good if it could be incorporated into some other issue somehow. It just looks like it's irritating, that's all. For that little bit of money, it's irritating for the customers to have to pay that. It just
any store you go into and give your credit card, that store's paying that money.
Yes, but the customer doesn't.
Right. Well, you're paying when you pay the bill, obviously.
You're making the customer pay their own government a fee to pay their taxes online.
But
we don't get the money.
Well, how does the customer know that?
It will be a separate charge on their credit card.
For the convenience, they will have to pay for that.
Right.
That charge. Otherwise, the tax. Yes. Otherwise, do you want Sussex County's tax base to subsidize
what
you
I'm
because
saying,
you want to do a credit
what
card?
What I'm saying is, for a little bit of money per person, it's right. Irritating.
Well, it could be irritating, but I'm just saying, I don't know if it's, I wouldn't be comfortable letting the tax base subsidize all the people that want to do that.
The issue, Joan, is since we collect for the state, mm-hmm. we would have to subsidize that extra 2.4% for the state. So on an average tax bill, it's about $16 mm-hmm. per tax bill, which most of that is because we are collecting for the state, mm-hmm. not our small portion of 100. So the
right,
county would have had to absorb what the state, by we're accepting credit cards.
That's a lot of money.
You're saying we pay the 2.46%. To collect
for the state's biggest portion.
Submit to the state.
Yeah.
But did we always have to pay that?
Yes.
We always did because it was electronic.
Because it was electronic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So there's not any new cost.
No, because we're not picking it up. It just goes to the customer. So the only thing that's new this year is that we're accepting credit cards at the counter, which we didn't do that before.
Are you accepting them online?
Yes, online and at the counter.
I hear what Ms. Deaver is saying. It's unusual for the customer to pay a convenience fee when they use a credit card in any business, really. But your point about us having to subsidize the state is well taken, and that's probably where I would have to agree with you. I was very disappointed that we are charging our users that fee, but it could add up to quite a bit with the school taxes involved.
Absolutely.
And Vance, it's fairly common. I just paid a college tuition, and you had an opportunity to pay by credit card. And if you did, there was a fee. You paid for that transaction cost, not the college. So, I mean, it's happening not with just us. I mean, it's across the board. Now, when you go into an outlet mall or something like that and buy some, obviously the store is absorbing it because they want your business and stuff like that, right?
That's just the price of what you're selling.
It's built exactly. In. But anyway, it just...
But this is your government.
I know, but somebody's got to pay for it. And I'm just saying, does the tax base subsidize? Do I have to subsidize? If I paid in person or in cash, whatever.
I'm not saying it has to.
My tax dollar shouldn't subsidize Vance's ability to pay with a credit card. That's or Sam or anybody. So that's just
I'm
the way I look
that.
At it. Right?
I'm just saying it's irritating, and it's your government, and doesn't. You know.
It's an issue that we discussed on the staff level.
Sam's irritating
to a great extent because we were concerned about the same thing, everything from the expense to the impression, and we selected this third party vendor. One of the reasons is because of what they can provide and at the cost that they are providing it. We could comfortably predict that we could probably see north of $100,000 that the county would have to absorb if we chose to do so.
Because it's 2.46%
of the bill,
which is a lot of money.
Correct. And again, 85% of that is going right to the state.
A question would be, is that fee negotiable? Because I know that different credit card companies do charge different things, so that may be something that we would look at in the future.
We did.
And renegotiate and say, if you want our business.
Right. We actually had official payments before, and they wouldn't get the price down, so we went out and got other companies, and this Govolution came down to the lowest, okay. And they beat what we've been using for years. So we did switch because they were the lowest rate.
So it is 2.46% of what you owe.
Yes.
I would pay by mail.
That's yes. Right.
There's no fee for
that.
The most people who do that, they're at the last minute, and they can't, you know, if they don't get it in, it's going to be a penalty. And maybe the penalty is the 2.4% might be more than the penalty. I don't know, but you have still an option to mail it in late and get a penalty. But anyway, that's the people who probably use that will be doing that last minute type of thing. I do have one more question. Anybody else?
Cool.
When you fill out the name, back to filling in the name, you know, doing a name search. I've had a couple of people ask me, and I'm confused about it too. You have a lot of businesses, like corporations, LLCs or stuff, that don't really have, like, John Smith.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break up? How do you put in, say, somebody's Mike Vincent LLC or Sam Wilson LLC or something, or Wilson Farms Incorporated LLC? How do you put that in?
Let's go ahead and bring one up.
Show me how.
Read
somebody else's tax bill with what you're driving.
No. I'm just sometimes. Well, anybody can read anybody's tax bill,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It's all. But I'm just saying, if you want to do a tax search,
right?
And how do you break down? How do you determine what's first name, last name?
Generally for businesses, we don't try to do anything funny. what used to be our last name was the entire business name. So it's not like a regular person where mine would be Norris and the last name John.
So Purdue LLC or Purdue Corporation would be all
typed in just like that.
But you got says owner's name. Oh, it's just one line now?
Just one line now.
Where it used to be first name, second name. Okay.
Yes.
We will no longer see that. So
correct.
Okay. You don't do last name first or anything like that?
No, not for a business. You just put in the business name.
For an individual, do you do the last name first?
For an individual, yes. Last name first.
Okay,
that's the description right up top here.
Okay, you might want to maybe on there say for businesses and in other words, there could be another disclaimer up there, or information type thing, because by reading that, you still don't know that that's how you do it. But now this makes it easier that if you can all put it on one line, I do agree with that. But it used to be the first name, last name.
Gotcha. I'll go ahead and add that on there.
Okay, that would be, I think, helpful. Does anybody disagree with that? Just another little.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did we really want people to pay online? Was that the objective? Because if we're going to charge that much money, I don't know how many of them are going to do it.
We just want people to pay.
I would say
sure. I would say that yes, we certainly would encourage people to pay online. It's the direction that the county as a whole is taking. It's the investment that this council made 3 years ago when you invested in Munis and Tyler Technologies. It's the changes that you're seeing both in this infrastructure that you're seeing on the screen today, all the way down to the changes we're physically making in this building so that folks can come in and do business like you do business everywhere else. With a credit card in person, you slide your credit card and you make your payment. Before this year, we were limited in being able to accept that payment. And because of the investment that you made and this the capabilities of this technology, yes, we would encourage both online payments and any payments we can receive, but that doing business with the county is changing, yes.
If I had a $1,000 tax bill and I pay 2.46%, that's not $2.46. That's some money. I wouldn't pay online.
Well,
I don't know if you really want people to pay online.
$1,000, I think.
I don't know how else you could handle it. I don't know. And I don't have any idea, but I'm just saying it's not attractive.
It's coming down to a personal decision. And if you want to mail it because you're comfortable mailing it, then that's your personal decision. If you are a type of person that does all of your transactions online.
I understand that. But if your goal is to get people to pay online, I don't think you're going to get there.
What I recommend you, Joan, do is call the credit card company and tell them to put the bill on the credit card instead of send us.
What?
What's that saying?
What?
Send the bill to the credit card company. instead of send it to us. Then we won't have to charge that extra.
I don't understand that. I guess I'm not sophisticated enough.
I got a question away from the money side of it. Has there ever been any consideration putting the outbuildings on the bill that they're paying taxes on? I've had people discover after paying 20. I've had people after maybe paying taxes for 25 years find out that they had been paying on a shed, for instance, that had fallen down 15 years ago. And since it's not identified on the taxes, they really didn't have any convenient way of knowing that, short, I guess, of coming in here and waiting down at the counter. Is there any means of putting the structures that are being taxed on the bill so the folks know exactly
in the description you're saying, right?
Somewhere.
Right.
Right now you can tell what is the building value and the land value, but it doesn't specifically say what type of building it is. And it, with that graph, you can see if it's gone up or gone down now, which we didn't have before. But we don't specifically say what type of building it is.
Do we know, Todd or Everett, when we do, does our tax department know, or I guess the assessment should know, there should be a record of like, if I have a shed or whatever taxable structures are on my property, right?
Right, assessment.
So there ought to be, there's got to be a record somewhere based on.
Yes, that's correct. Assessment would have it.
Would that be too cumbersome to put on something?
We can
like
definitely look into it to see what can be on the billing file, which is separate from the property assessment file, to see if we can have that additional information.
Well, as soon as you get a permit, of course, then it's...
Right. You're going to see soon, after John's done, what you can now start seeing about the properties as well.
Okay.
So we're working in that direction.
Okay.
It's
very good.
Maybe, Todd, just another thought just came to mind. Maybe on their website somewhere, there might be a list of what we assess, so people would know what is assessable.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be on the tax bill, but there'd be maybe a link to... you know, accessible structures or whatever. Because I didn't know one time somebody said something like your heat pump sitting outside, it maybe is accessible. Or
really?
I think. So if you check with some of these things, or like a bulkhead.
Well, I can see
a couple
that.
Years ago, we had bulkheads all of a sudden became accessible. Now, then your school taxes went up. Not many people are going to go to school from my bulkhead, but... Or maybe a pier. There's a number of things that you wouldn't know that would be an accessible feature of your property. So I wouldn't mind seeing a definition of what the county deems to be an accessible.
That's something we could easily put up on the.
Yeah, it's just good information for the public. Mm-hmm. And somebody gets an argument with their tax bill, they'll look at it and say, oh, well, I haven't been paying on that thing for a while. I better be quiet. Mm-hmm. or I've been paying on something like Vance said, fell down. So,
any more questions of council? Thank you very much.
Thank you. While the press is writing this story, I don't know if it's something that could be incorporated into this story or not, but I had a gentleman the other day tell me that he no longer had chickens in his chicken houses. And what was an asset for many years was now a liability. And to add insult to injury, the county was still taxing him based on that chicken house being an income-producing structure. And I think the farmers out there who have lost contracts should know they can call the county, and the county will go out and reassess that property, and they can see a significant savings on their tax bill.
Okay, that brings a question. I hate to do this to you, Mr. President. Could somebody explain to me? Income producing doesn't have anything to do with it. It's just the structure, isn't it? It's the physical structure, not whether it's income producing or not. I mean, what Vance just said. if I had the chicken house, and
well, you have
it's the chicken house that gets assessed, not the chickens that are in it.
Well, it goes from a $300,000 chicken house making you money every year to a
$30,000
storage shed.
No, it's the value of the structure. It has nothing to do with what's in it.
Oh, absolutely. If that structure no longer is up to standards and it goes to auction, it's probably worth $30,000.
Oh, well, okay.
If it is up to standards and it is income producing via a contract with a poultry company, it would sell for maybe $300,000. And we base, I believe, our taxes on the value of those assets.
Of the structure.
I believe an assessor could lower the grade of the, like if it had chickens and was producing, it would be assessed at a certain grade. If it was no longer doing that and you just had a building, the assessment could be lowered by changing the grade of the building.
Correct.
My house
the
is
grade
getting old,
I think, was
yeah.
what they said.
And then
my house is getting
that's
old.
How
I wonder if
that.
I could do that.
But so they do that. Yeah, I never knew that. I just assumed that we had a formula on square footage formulas and stuff like that.
Right, there is a formula.
And that applied, right, that applied across the board. So if I had an apartment that wasn't being, used, I'm not going to be able to get a lower grade. I'm just wondering why a structure if it's there.
Yeah.
It's not my fault that it's not my fault or that, that there's no chickens in or something like that. That's what I'm trying to point out.
It comes down to value.
Well,
What would that sell for? What would that appraise
for? My point is, Vance, are we only doing that with chicken houses? If we are, then that's not equitable. If we're doing something like that.
A structure that has a significant change in use that affects the appraisal would be eligible to be
downgraded.
Well, I got a shed that's falling apart. What about that?
I guess you can get it downgraded. Okay, that's something new.
Let's move along. It's a different subject, different day.
Maybe Eddie could come someday in the future. Go through a lot of this with us.
We're not talking about a shed that's probably worth $2,300. We're talking about a chicken house that's probably worth $400,000 or $500,000 at the time. And when chickens goes out, the building goes down. We're talking about different kind of money, Joe. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about ever
big money.
I got some sheds too. I'm not going to come up.
You're talking about big. Yeah, I got you.
I'm not talking about
big money.
My taxes, Lord.
Yeah,
I'm just challenging the.
I'm talking about a chicken house with big bucks.
Big money.
Bucks.
Okay.
That's right.
And why can you tax people? And to start with, these chickens don't go to school anyway. I mean, why would you charge school tax for them anyhow? So.
That's a good
but
point.
Does it apply to a motel?
We will have this conversation a different time. Please continue on.
You're right.
Morning. I'm Andy Wright with the Building Code Department. I have Jennifer Norwood with our Planning and Zoning Office. To elaborate on Mr. Lawson's previous statement on the change of our county as well as it's going to more futuristic with everything online, paying by credit cards. A lot of people don't come into the office as much as they used to be. We're going to carry that on into the permit side and the inspection side to see the capabilities that Munis now allows. What we can do where we're at this screen now, we can enter a application number, kind of walk you through what the contractors, property owners are now be able to see online.
That's what I want to see.
Okay. And what we have here is an application. Looks like was this for a house. Up here it has the property owner's name, the builder's name, district map and parcel. At this point now, this is a project that has been completed under the status. So this is something that's already been constructed. The address of the property. And down here it gives a description of some of the inspections that we've had or that we conducted on this. For instance, here on April 8th, we did a footer. Right here it shows the result passed. These are things that contractors have various jobs nowadays that they can't be at one job or three jobs at the same time. This would allow that contractor to go online, put his application number in, and right there he can know, hey, I had a scheduled a footer inspection for April 8th. It will now show that, oh, I know I'm good to go, it's passed, I can get my concrete, get out on the job site, and have these workers start constructing the house.
So the county enters it when it's done. No?
No, actually this would be actually as an ongoing, as the house is being constructed or as the project's being constructed, at those dates, this information's put in. Mm-hmm. So in April, he could go on in and say, oh, I know this passed. The next inspection.
So it is something centered when we pass it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, and actually to elaborate more, because of everybody's going more online, there are tools and devices out that inspectors can have in the future that will actually do it on real time, on the spot.
That's the best thing. That's great.
So they're not the contractors, the property owners, not waiting the next day for an inspector to get back to office to see, hey, did I pass or not, or what were the violations, or. The inspector might have called and left a message on the voicemail. Oh, I didn't get that message. I didn't know I didn't pass, or I did pass. I didn't know I could proceed. This way here, they could go online and see the benefits that, oh, I know I passed, or if I did fail, here are my deficiencies. This is what I know I need to correct.
The contractor still calls in, says I'm ready for the footer to be inspected.
Yes.
Then he hangs up. Then he never knows when our inspector, that they sometimes, I'm sure, estimate, you know, maybe next day, might be 2 days, whatever.
Right.
So you're saying they still call in, but then they don't have to call back to find out?
Exactly.
Unless they keep checking it's not there, they go, hey, what the heck happened?
Exactly. Or, you know, when that inspector's out on the job, eventually we will have the capability of, when we're on the job,
immediately
pass,
doing
fail, right there, it generates some form of either email, some type of device of a notification.
You
let
notify.
Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
And that's happening now.
No, we're moving in that direction.
We do have one tablet that our inspectors are currently taking out on the road. We just started it last week. So
they can enter in.
We're at the test stage right now.
Okay, so they
think within a month, you'll be good?
I would say something at least by the end of the year, which should be something.
By the end of the year.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have capability of 12 inspectors. You know, you take that, there's that equipment times 12, it's something we just need to phase in a little bit.
Good stuff.
So this is all public, anybody could get this?
Yes.
Okay.
So also, they'll eventually have a laptop in their truck, they get done the inspection, they go back in their truck and they go boom, and it's done.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And just not long with the inspection side, it also, when somebody comes in, builds a new house, their contractor, they can also see the process during the approval process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my plans have been submitted such and such a date. As the plan reviewer looking at it, has it been approved? Am I ready for the permit? Has the permit been issued? And then it gets out to the inspection side, all the way up to the final, where they're wanting their certificate of occupancy to go to the bank to move in. And right up right here where these two top ones, the building code final, the planning zoning final, they know right there they passed. They know they either could come in, call, or we can email now the actual certificate so they can final out the project and the property owners can go ahead and move in.
And the only thing they have to check is with the lender if it's a construction loan, because they have to inspect also.
Right.
How does that fit in? Does not.
That does not affect
okay,
our
fine.
Process.
That's separate.
Right.
He checks on that himself. That's his issue. Mm-hmm.
The key thing that would probably aid is that they could see that they have the planning zoning final, they have the building code final, that they know, hey, I can get my CO to take that to my lender to say, hey, we have actually been approved.
Oh, and they wouldn't have to inspect separately?
Well, that's up to the lender.
Yeah, yeah.
If they have different criteria as far as, hey, we're lending you X amount of money, we want to make sure you're getting what you pay for. But what it usually generates is that certificate of occupancy lets the lender know it's been closed out, we can stop charging whatever percent for that construction loan.
That's a lot of responsibility on us.
Now, when the inspector, when you call in for an inspector, does the inspector, why can't the inspector tell them approximately when they could be there?
And we do.
All right, now, would it be a whole lot of benefit to this if the inspector's going to tell them, say I'm a contractor, I call you and I said, I've got my foundations are ready to inspect, I'm ready to pour concrete, and you say, well, you look at your schedule, I see that I'm being 2 hours. Now, don't I get that information when the inspectors are, says, okay, it's all passed?
Some of them do.
Why not?
Some of the contractors, a lot of times they're not on site or they don't need to be on site.
But I mean, if I was there on the job.
Yes, if you were there, yes, we would give you a verbal approval or denial right then.
So I could keep right on moving with this job?
Correct.
Okay.
We're starting to see that being a smaller and smaller area that contractors do. A lot of them, they rather have the notification by electronic, or a lot of them can't be on the job site. So we're taking that and moving to that step forward more for the masses.
Yeah, if I was a contractor, I'd try to work it with your schedule. In other words, you said I can be there at 10 o'clock, I would try to know how much work I had and work my men to that.
Exactly.
And have that inspection come and say, well, the inspection's passed, I could go on from that point on.
And we still do encounter contractors that do that. There's just some of them that now they're they have other bigger and better things, or they have more jobs that they're trying to juggle. As far as that, do you have anything else where we can?
I believe that they can view the you can view the CO, like the CO has been issued, and if the customer wanted to view that, he could. I'm not sure. Can they probably print that as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They could print it out rather than having to come to the office or
and that's
wait for
legitimate,
the mail.
That's legal?
Mm-hmm.
Print out? Very good. Very good.
Do you have one board appeal?
You're so sophisticated, I'm telling you. That's very good.
And currently right now for planning and zoning to view any pending hearing information, we are currently, what did I type something wrong?
Okay. In my neighborhood now.
Find the right spot?
334? That's close.
335. Wrong number.
335.
Mm-hmm.
George, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this shows applications that are on the computer. This completed one is an old permit or something that's been converted. This active number here is the Board of Adjustment case that's pending. You would view the details there. It shows you her name.
No relation.
Variance.
Oh, you're related to everybody.
And currently, it'll give you a brief description of what they're asking for, like the 0.6-foot variance from the 15-foot side yard. Give you a little brief idea. That's more than currently anybody can view without calling the office or coming in. Our surveys are not currently showing. We're working with Munis and Tyler Technology to figure out. The survey that was scanned can't be viewed by the public at this time. But we're waiting now currently.
Is that protected information or?
It's just a little hiccup between our process and their system. We just got to iron a couple of wrinkles out, and then this information should be able to be viewed by the public.
So they can follow variances and planning and zoning applications.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as it goes through even county council, like an application, and then you can find out then if it's been approved or denied. Mm-hmm. Mention that in all that.
It also has the capability when the project is and assigned an application number under Board of Appeal, it also will show if they go in front of the board, the results of the hearing, uh-huh. Facts finding, that sort of thing.
Will that change the period of time in which you can appeal?
I don't believe, as far as the legality of it,
we still have
certain
advertised dates in the paper,
right.
Newspaper, I guess. It's still the same.
Oh, that's the same, yeah.
Would it have the date when it was approved? Like, say, this variance was approved, and will it say the date? Because then, like, the issue of the appeal process, they're time sensitive.
Yes.
So somebody could go and look and say, oh, I only get, you know, if I'm going to appeal this, I only got 5 days left. It's like 45 days, I think, typical appeal, right?
They could
somebody out there who was concerned about an application in their neighborhood, they could challenge something or the applicant could appeal. So anyway, we would have those dates.
Yeah, eventually it will be able to.
Available. They see it on there. Oh, that's
yes, and then we'll keep records as far as when the application was received, when was the first notice for the hearing, when the hearing actually was, what the finding of the hearing, the results, and then if it come down to where they needed the appeal.
By date.
Yes.
You would tell them by date.
But it
That's
will all
excellent.
Be, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions, Council? Mr. Cole.
One last thing. This is all good. There was one thing that I think that I'd like to see similar to this set up for violations, P&Z violations. More people call up and say, you know, are concerned about a violation, or they are the people who made the complaint, right? And they'd like to see, is the county doing anything? And we have had a history of not being able to show a response in timely manner. Is there a way we can address when there's been a letter sent out or something like that and follow a similar format so
yes,
that
there is.
People don't have to call us up to find out what's going on, or we can direct them to our website and to check on a violation and where it stands, like in court or, you know,
It is supposed to be accessible. If the violation is entered into Munis, it automatically sets up the inspection for our inspector, and there is supposed to be a way to view that from the customer side.
So they are
going
to be entered into the system. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we haven't used that a whole lot yet.
But this is all new. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to see that also
into this format, because I think all this is real good.
Yes. I know during training they said there would be a way.
Okay.
Like when we had the pigs in that community, and we would go out, and the inspector would go out and count the pigs. I mean, is all that going to be online? And how many pigs were there? And the, you know, had to go out two or three times.
Yes. Is that another relative of yours?
There should be notes.
Any more questions of council?
Certain number of pigs.
Another loss. Mrs. Jennings.
There is a video posted on our website on what we've just showed, so that if anybody has any problems, they can see the video and walk through it that way.
Oh, very good.
Thank you all. Very good job.
Good job.
Can I get some continuing education credits for this?
Who's going to do
Keith Bryant?
Keith,